The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 5th, 2013, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mogasha Moga Karmano. Moghagyana Vichetasa. Rakshasim Asarim Chaiva. Prakritam Mohinim Shrita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Purport. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the absolute truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads, is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded, because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yo veti bhautikam deham krishnasya paramatmanaha sarasavasmad bahiskarya shrota smarta vidhannavtaha mukam tasya valokyapi sachelam snanam acharet. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and Smriti. And if by chance one sees his face, one should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. So Krishna is a very pivotal personality in this sense. Pivotal means how you, well, your attitude about him will either make you or break you. Those who are favorable to Krishna, they achieve an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. Those who deride Krishna, they're in a very precarious position, as described here. Just like in the history, Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna. Finally, he got his head cut off. So, we want to be on the good side of Krishna. Of course, Krishna is very merciful. In this age, he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even those who are demoniac, he doesn't cut off their heads. He induces them to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, even though we are in the category of Jagai and Madai in this demoniac category, simply by carefully chanting these sweet, sweet names every day, our disease of ignorance is destroyed, gradually destroyed. And we become reinstated in our eternal identities as Krishna's transcendental servants in his divine lila. So the point is, we are not meant to suffer in this material existence. This is an artificial position. Now we are strangers in a strange land. We're not meant to be here. We are not citizens of this earth planet, actually. We got stranded here some time back. Now we got to get back to our original home. But we've been here for so long, we think this is home. That's our illusion, you see. We're thinking, how can I leave this place? When I was a small boy, there was one TV show in the U.S. called The Twilight Zone. And there was a story about one man who got stranded on a planet in outer space. And someone provided him with a beautiful woman as his companion. But actually it wasn't a beautiful woman, it was just a robot. So someone came to let him know, this is not a real woman, it's just a robot. And he said, no, 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 it couldn't be, it couldn't be, it couldn't be. And they took a gun and went, boom, on the robot, you see. And all the springs came out, and it was just a machine. All the springs came flying out, and it was just some machine. But he couldn't accept the reality, you see. He was so attached to the false idea of happiness. It wasn't even a real woman, it was just a robot, you see. So in the same way, we think this is our actual home, you see. Oh, it's so nice. Society, friendship and love divinely bestowed upon man. society, friendship and love. And now I'm being sarcastic. Divinely bestowed upon men. So we think, oh, it's so nice, you see. Just like in the U.S., you know, they root for their home team, the home baseball team, you know. Even I see all over the world, people have New York Yankees hats. Even in Europe, people wear New York Yankees hats. Yeah, I'm a Yankees fan. I mean, what is this nonsense, you know? What are you worshiping, you know? Or I'm a fan of this rock and roll band or this. I mean, what are you worshiping? You're trying to imagine this is some wonderful place here, you know. It's a place where nobody lives. Nobody gets out of this place alive. Don't you understand? Nobody gets out of here alive. It's a dangerous place where everybody gets killed, including you and me. We all get killed. So why are we so attached to this place? I mean, it's insanity. It's completely insane. We need to see a psychiatrist. The trouble is, the psychiatrists are also crazy. That's why we need a spiritual master, you see. Spiritual master is the real psychiatrist. He can see the disease of this, he can see the mental disease of the disciple. And he cuts through it with the sword of transcendental knowledge. That is called, in Sanskrit language, Hridaya Granti. The hard, hard knot in the heart of material attachment. It's so hard you can never untie it, you see. But with a very sharp sword wielded by the spiritual master, you can cut through it. So that's why we have to hear submissively from the bona fide spiritual master. Because his sharp words, full of nectar and full of mercy, they have the power to cut through all of our material attachment. And bring us back to who we actually are. We are not of this world. We're inhabitants of the spiritual world, actually. We're not these bodies. These are just material world uniforms that we're wearing right now. Just like you go to the prison, they issue, here's your prison uniform, number 33. We've been issued these prison uniforms, that's all. According to our karma, if you're a very good prisoner, you get a nice uniform. If you're a bad prisoner, you get a bad uniform. If you're a special privileged prisoner, you get a real nice cell with a TV set. And if you're a bad prisoner, they stick you in solitary confinement and they just throw you a little bread every now and then. So according to our karma, we have different varieties of prison uniforms, but that's all it is. It's prison uniforms.
Un saskaņā ar savu karmu mums vienkārši tiek izsniegts dažādi
But we think, oh, very nice, my Riga, very nice.
You see?
Just like Prabhupada gave the example of the Russian cosmonaut circling the earth. And every time he came around Russia, he looked down, oh, where is my Moscow? So in this way we're attached to this material world. We're foolishly attached to this material
world,
which is nothing but a place of misery. That's why we have to hear about Goloka Vrindavan. That's why we have to hear about Krishna and the gopis and Radharani and Yashodamati. We were a part of that at one time. We have to hear about it and hear about it and hear about it. And we gradually went, wow, what am I doing here in this ridiculous place? I have to go through birth, death, old age, and disease again and again, millions and billions of times, suffering like anything. Let me get out of here and get back to my constitutional position. This is why we have to hear from Guru and Sadhus in the scriptures. Because by this hearing, we become liberated. We become transcendentalized. We become spiritualized. We become immunized against the disease of this material existence. Therefore, this kirtan is a very important thing. This japa is a very important thing. These classes are a very important thing. Because the more you tune in to transcendental sound vibration, you become more and more delivered from this material existence. Those who hear more, they advance more. Those who hear less, they advance less. So if you want to advance more, then hear as much as you possibly can. That includes reading, because reading is silent hearing. So take advantage of this mercy of Srila Prabhupada and make your lives perfect. This is our request. Not only my request, but the request of all the acharyas. Our request is, please make your life perfect. Make this the last birth you'll ever take in this material world. Completely now, give yourself to Krishna. Under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. And in this way become liberated soul and fully enlightened transcendental being. So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Cik daudz ir atkarīgs no karmas un cik daudz ir atkarīgs no mūsu privās izvēles?
How much we are dependent on our own karma or on and our own free will? How much we are dependent on our karma and our free will?
If you remain in the material nature, you are a slave of your karma.
Ja jūs paliekat materiālajā dabas ietekmē, jūs esat savas kārmas sargs.
But if you surrender to Krishna, Krishna releases you from your karma. It's up to you, sir. You want to be a slave? Or do you want to be a free man? It's your choice and you have the power. That power to choose has nothing to do with karma. You have the free will by the grace of Krishna. You have the free will right now. To choose to remain a slave or to be a free man, it's your choice. Choose wisely. Your future depends on it. Any other questions?
Vai Krishna atbrīvot arī mūs no prarabdha karmu?
Can Krishna also deliver us from prarabdha karma? Prarabdha karma.
What kind of karma?
Unavoidable.
Unavoidable karma.
If you surrender, you become delivered from all your karmas. It's a simple thing. If it doesn't matter, even if you're the most sinful Jagai Madai character that ever walked the face of Europe, even if you're a Stalin or a Hitler, if you surrender to Krishna, you get released from your karma. And if you don't surrender to Krishna, no matter, even if you're Mr. Piety himself, still you have your karma, you're stuck in. All karma can be avoided. You can avoid all your karma just by surrendering to Krishna. Next question.
What to do if I'm afraid to surrender to Krishna?
Well, you continue suffering in the cycle of birth and death then. No, you don't have to surrender. You want to keep suffering, you can do them. It's your free choice. If you like to suffer, you'd rather suffer, go ahead. But the way to get over the fear of it is to hear more, you see. Hear and read more. Fear means you're still being influenced by your mind. So if you go on reading more, chanting more, and hearing more from guru, from sadhus, and from the scripture, then that will gradually increase your faith to where there'll be no fear left at all. So you have to just increase your hearing, you see. In other words, like Vishnu Jamara has told me very wisely many years ago, he said, you must continue inquiring and your intelligence is fully satisfied. Fear means you're still being tortured by doubts. So you have to utilize your intelligence to inquire and inquire and inquire until all of those doubts are completely destroyed. And then there won't be any fear at all. No, absolutely no fear. Because you will know that you're doing exactly the right thing. Now you're unsure. Is this the right thing or is this not the right thing? But if you continue hearing, reading, chanting, then your intelligence will become strengthened and you'll know absolutely this is the only alternative for man. That's stated directly in the Sri Upanishad. That one who goes on continuously doing work in this sort of way can aspire to live for hundreds of years. And there is no alternative to this way for man. So there actually is no other alternative. It's either you want to commit suicide or you want to live. Really, that's what it boils down to. Only a fool would take suicide. To not to surrender to Krishna, it is worse than suicide. So, there's really no choice. Yeah.
On one hand, we are afraid of surrendering to Krishna, but aren't we afraid of losing our dear ones and we are attached to?
Yeah, we're afraid. What will my friends think? What will my colleagues think? What will my family members think? Is it? So because of our attachment is to mundane society, friendship and love, therefore we're afraid. In fact, one gopi warned her gopi girlfriend. My dear gopi girlfriend, are you afraid of losing your attachment to society, friendship and love? If you're afraid of doing it, then do not go to the Jamuna Bank tonight. Because if you go there, you'll see this beautiful boy named Govinda. He's placing his flutes to his lips, which are just like newly blossomed twigs. And his transcendental body bending in three places is glowing so beautifully in the moonlit night. So if you're scared of losing your attachment, society, friendship and love, better stay away from the Jamuna Bank tonight.
Aren't you afraid of that, I'm saying?
Ah. She is making the point, ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam shesha stavaram ichchami kim mashtayam atahapadam. The Maharaj Yudhisthira was asked by Yamaraj, what is the most amazing thing in this world? And he said that at every moment, countless numbers of people are being dragged by to the court of Yamaraj, by the Yamadutas. But those who are remaining here, they think, oh, I have no problem, I'm not going to die. So you should develop a healthy fear of death. Not I say healthy, healthy feel. You should understand that death can come at any minute. And if I'm not Krishna conscious, I will be dragged down to a very unfortunate position. My relationships in this world, they're all temporary, they're going to lose them anyway. So why should I be so concerned about people, my friends and family think about me? I've had millions of friends and family members in millions of lifetimes. And still I am stuck in a rotting, aging material body. So instead of being carried away by sentiments and remaining in the cycle of birth and death, I should use my intelligence and do whatever it takes to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Any other questions? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the material world and the spiritual world are parallel worlds. They're going on just like side by side, like two tracks on the train, two rails on the train track. Which side of the track do you want to be on? The side of light or the side of illusion? This is described as being a reflection of the spiritual world. Just like if there's a big banyan tree on the bank of the river. That banyan tree is also reflected in the river. So there's two versions of the banyan tree. They're parallel to each other. You see. There's the actual banyan tree standing upright. And in the parallel world, in the reflection, there, it's upside down. So they are two parallel worlds. The material world and the spiritual world are two parallel worlds. But in this world, everything is upside down. That's the difference. And that's why everything is screwy here. It's an upside down world. What is good is considered to be bad. And what's bad is considered to be good. So, better to get to the other side. By chanting Hare Krishna. Because this side here, the it's called the world of the perverted reflection. This side is very bewildering side to be on. No matter how hard you struggle to be happy here, you become even more unhappy. So instead of trying to be happy in this artificial world, we should get out of this and go to the other side of the parallel worlds. The Vaikuntha realm. There are many planets there. And they're all very beautiful. They're full of light. Full of thousands and millions and billions of devotees glorifying the Lord. And of all these planets, there is one planet that is very, very special. That is called Goloka Vrindavan. And there Krishna and Radharani are having their transcendental pastimes. So we are all invited to go to that planet. We're giving you the ticket. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They're also giving you the airport where the flights are taking off daily. Do you know where that airport is? You're sitting in it right now. This is an airport. And the flights are leaving here every minute. For Goloka Vrindavan. And there's wonderful pilots. Wonderful flight attendants. They are the devotees and the gurus. And they have wonderful in-flight meals also, for Krishna Prasadam. And wonderful in-flight entertainment also, kirtan, pastimes, so many wonderful in-flight entertainments. So catch a flight on Hare Krishna Airlines and fly back to home, back to Godhead. Forget Air Baltic and Turkish Airlines. Of course, you can use them to go to Vrindavan, that's okay. But if you really want to travel to the destination where there's no coming back, fly Hare Krishna. Fly Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any other questions? Yes.
Tagad lūdzu, ko atbildēt cilvēkam, kurš apgalvo, ka Jēzus Kristus ir Dievs, un nevēlas neapspriest, nepieņemt nekādus citus Dieva aspektus?
Ko atbildēt cilvēkam, kurš saka, ka Jēzus Kristus ir Dievs, un kurš nevēlas pieņemt nekādus citus Dieva aspektus?
What to tell to the person who says that Jesus Christ is the God and he is not willing to accept any other forms or aspects of God?
If someone says, I only accept Jesus and no one else, I tell him, why don't you read your Bible then? You claim to be a follower of Jesus, but you're not even following him. If you really accept Jesus, why don't you follow him? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. I saw you over at McDonald's there. They're eating some murdered cow. You call yourself a Christian? First of all, become a vegetarian, then I might think you're a little more, you're might serious about following Jesus. And then, my dear Christian, have you not read in the book of Psalms? The one is meant to glorify the Lord from the morning until the night? I hardly ever hear you glorifying the Lord. What sort of Christian are you? You're a disgrace. And you talk about Jesus. If you want to take the name of Jesus, you follow him. You give up your sinful activities. And you glorify the Lord from morning till night. And then maybe I'll take you a little bit seriously and tell me you're a follower of Jesus.
Izmantojot šāds vārds, vēršoties pie šiem cilvēkiem, es saskārējos ar viņu agresīvu attieksmu un pretargumentiem, ka šis baldus neatiecās uz dzīvniekiem. Kā rīkoties šādā situācijā?
When I approached that person, I was telling him the same thing, but in answer I received aggressive attitude and statement that this argument, thou shalt not kill, is not applied to the animals.
And then that means you haven't studied the Hebrew language that it's originally written in, sir. If you look in the Hebrew, it's lo titzak, which means refers to all kinds of killing. Ask any bona fide Hebrew scholar what lo titzak refers to. He says it refers to all types of killing. You have no basis at all. You have no scholarship at all to even understand your own Bible. Because you are addicted to blood and flesh, therefore you've concocted this so-called demoniac version of Christianity. Which has absolutely zero connection with Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is known as the Good Shepherd. If you ask your friend if you saw a painting of Jesus taking a knife and cutting the throat of the sheep, would you think it was a bona fide picture of Jesus? Jesus takes a knife and he rips the lamb open and he gorges himself on the flesh of the lamb. Is that your vision of Jesus, sir? Your own Bible says that in the kingdom of God, the lamb and the lion will sit peacefully side by side. In this material world, when a lamb and a lion are sitting side by side, you come back 10 minutes later, where you'll find the lamb. In the belly of the lion. But in the spiritual world, they will sit peacefully side by side. This means the spiritual world is a vegetarian place. You think that by following Jesus, you're going to go back to the spiritual world. But if you got there, you'd be in for a big shock. They're all vegetarians there. And you wouldn't feel happy there. You'd have to come back to Riga to get something to eat. At McDonald's. So just give up your stupid nonsense Christianity. Become a real Christian, won't you? Become a compassionate person who cares about the suffering of others. Jesus was disgusted by the killing of the animals in the temple. That's why he started his whole movement. Don't you know that? His movement was a protest against the animal killing the Jews were doing. If Jesus comes, when Jesus comes back again, he's going to protest against what you're doing. In fact, I can tell you, when Jesus comes again, he's going to be a Hare Krishna. Because we are following the real path that Jesus taught of pure devotion. So you want to be a real follower of Jesus? You come to our temple, we'll train you up. We are the real Christians. You people are a disgrace. You're pseudo-Christians. We are the real Christians. Any other questions? Yeah.
То есть насколько сильно это может отразиться, как это отразится на его карме, если он как бы ну, подсознательно допускает, что Бог, ну, не только ну, Кришна, но и также есть эта сила высшая, которая посещает также людей, которые другой религии.
Ja cilvēks īstenībā tic Krišnam, bet tāpat viņam arī patīk apmeklēt un interesē citas konfesijas, kā tas tā kā ietekmē viņu, kāds atsaucās uz viņu karmu.
If a person truly believes about Krishna, but he also likes to go to the other churches and to accept other knowledge about God, which is presented in other churches, how does this affect his karma?
We don't say that the other scriptures are false. They do contain very wonderful knowledge of God. We only say they are not following them properly, that's all. They do have some good knowledge, we don't deny them. But it's incomplete and it's not perfect. There are many, many things taught within Judaism, Christianity, and Islam that are very nice concepts. When our Srila Prabhupada was in Tehran many years ago, he was appreciating how the Muslims were praying five times a day. I was also seeing in the airport how the Muslims would get down on the floor of the airport and do their prayer right in the middle of the airport. I was seeing we could learn some good lessons from the Muslims, how to be more devout. I see many devotees are afraid to wear their tilak in the public. But the Muslims were getting down on the floor and bowing down on the floor and praying to Mecca in the middle of the airport. So I think we can learn a lot from the other religion. But I think they can learn even more from us. Because the science that we're getting here from Prabhupada is the perfection of religion.
Jo šī zinātne, ko mēs esam saņēmuši no šīs Prabhupādas, tā ir religijas pilnība.
And their practice, although it has some very nice, beautiful principles, is mixed with all kinds of ignorance. Like the idea that, you know, you can kill animals. I've been to there. I grew up as a Christian. We had a potluck dinner every Wednesday night. And there would be the church barbecues also. So much meat. Very simple thing to eat flesh of an animal. Very, very simple thing. And their priests, even their pope, eats meat, you see. They have no conception how sinful they are. So there's many nice teachings that have come down from Jesus, but they don't understand how to practice them properly. Sometimes I go to their churches and they have me speak. I give lecture in their churches. And actually they like it very much. Because we accept Jesus as our guru. I told one Sunday school class, or actually a study group on Wednesday night study group. Jesus is our guru, he's our savior, we love him, we surrender, we follow that pathway that Jesus taught. They were in bliss. But then I explain at the end of the lecture. Now the word beef in English has a dual meaning. It means cow flesh, it also means complaint. So I said, but with you all we have a beef. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Now I had glorified Krishna, Jesus so much that they were smiling and all mellowed out. They loved me. They thought, oh, this is the greatest preacher we ever heard. I had them completely mellowed out. Just tell them how wonderful Jesus was. You know, they were completely in bliss. And then at the end I said, we have a beef, and that is you with a beef. You're eating meat, and the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And they were so mellowed out, they were all smiling. So I told them they were wrong. You're not following Jesus by eating meat, and they were all smiling. they didn't get angry. They were happy to hear that, because the way I told them, they were, now, wow, how poetically he has said this. So actually it's not difficult to preach if you know the art. But the only way to learn the art is practice, 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 practice. So take every opportunity you can, every time you get the opportunity, to preach to everybody and anybody, Christians, Muslims, atheists, Hindus, agnostics, hedonists. And the greatest chance, take some books and go out on the street. And approach the people as they come up and down the sidewalk. You'll get so many types of people with so many arguments. So in this way you can become expert at preaching, you see. You'll find the ways and means to attract everybody to Krishna. Any other questions?
Kad ir jāizmanto to kādu iespēju, lai sludinātu, bet ne par laikā, mēs zinām, ka viens no apvainojumiem pret svēto vārdu ir sludināt neticīgajiem.
You mentioned that we need to take opportunity and preach as much as possible to everyone, but we also know that one of the offenses towards holy name is to preach to the unfaithful. How to understand?
Yes. Lord Chaitanya said, preach to everybody. And it's also stated not to preach to the faithless. But what it really states is not to describe the high, more high level topics to the people who are not ready to hear it yet. That's the real point. You have to give them the suitable medicine for their level. Just like, for example, a person who's dying of hunger. If you give him a huge plate of food, it can kill him because his digestive system can't handle it. You have to give him just a little bit of food. And then gradually as his digestive system becomes strong, he can take more food. So that means you shouldn't give them a whole Bhagavatam class. You give them a little bit, just to somehow get them a little bit connected with the Supreme. It's like you can say, oh, my dear sir, would you like to know who you really are? Do you think that you're your body? If I asked you who you are, what would you say? Would you say, I'm a male? Would you give me your name? Would you give me your nationality? How would you identify yourself? Your name can be changed in a court of law. And even nowadays, people change their genders by surgery and by medications. You can change your nationality by moving to a different country and getting a new citizenship. So who are you really? You see, do you actually know who you really are? You see. And I can tell you, Sarah, that if you really know who you are, it will liberate you from all anxieties. Because at the present moment, you're actually identifying with blood and flesh. Blood and flesh. Which is destined to get sick and get old and die. Not a very pleasant proposition. But I can enlighten you, sir, to understand an identity that you have which can never be taken by anything. No old age can touch it. No terrorist can touch it. Death cannot touch it. I can turn you on to your actual identity, which has unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss, and unlimited love. If I could do that, would you be interested to learn a little bit more about this science of self-realization? I didn't mention God, you see. The person could have been an atheist. I didn't even say the word Krishna, did I? But yet I'm teaching him the science of the self. which is the first step in becoming Krishna conscious. The first step to becoming Krishna conscious, understanding who you are and who you are not. So the point is, you have to prescribe the medicine properly. You don't tell everybody about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna out on the street. They'll think Krishna is a immoral playboy. You have to give them what they're ready, what they can handle at their level. That's the point of that prohibition. If you've given them beyond what they can handle, then that is your mistake. Because then they become blasphemous, you see. You have to give them what they can handle. Just like the expert surgeon. You can cut away the cancer without hitting any nerves. You see. So in this way you have to be expert. Just like an open heart surgeon. You can take the scalpel of transcendental knowledge and you can utilize it on that person to help him become liberated from his illusion, from his ignorance and his suffering. That's the meaning of the prohibition. Don't foolishly wield the scalpel. You have to know what you're doing. That's why the best thing is just distribute the books. Because then the most expert preacher of all then is there, Prabhupada. But you have to be a representative of Prabhupada also. They may read the book and they may ask you some question. You say, well, I don't know, I don't read them. You want to add something, Devji? Okay, so that should help you to understand. Yeah. Any other questions? Mm-hmm.
How soul differs from super soul?
The soul differs from the super soul in many, many ways. For example, your soul is only present of the pains and pleasures of your body. But the super soul is fully cognizant or aware of the pains and pleasures of everyone's body. There's a big difference right there. Your cognizance is limited within this body, a little bit beyond it. But the awareness or cognizance of the super soul includes everything. Next question.
Kādas ir jūsu domas par budismu? What are your thoughts about Buddhism?
Buddhism?
Buddhism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lord Buddha is actually the incarnation of Krishna.
Kungs Buddha patiesībā Krishnas iemiesojums.
So we worship Lord Buddha. We actually have a prayer that we sometimes sing in worship of Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha taught the principle of karma, which is a bona fide principle. We accept that principle. He taught the principle of ahimsa, or non-violence, of not killing the animals. And we accept that principle. In terms of philosophy, he taught a sub-religious principle for a purpose. So Buddhist philosophy, which is voidism, was used as a tactic to defeat a false understanding of the Vedas. So we don't follow the, we do not accept the Buddhistic teaching that everything is zero. In Buddhism, they teach nirvana. And we also accept nirvana. But our understanding of nirvana is defeats the Buddhistic conception of nirvana. The Buddhist conception of nirvana is everything just becomes zero. But the there's a higher understanding which is called nirvana vilambitani. Or that which defeats the Buddhist conception of nirvana. And that is to understand there's a Supreme Person, Krishna. And that we are all His eternal servants. Buddha actually accepted this philosophy that we have. He would agree completely with our Krishna consciousness philosophy, because he's Krishna himself. But he taught a philosophy of void to stop the people from abusing the Vedic scriptures at the time to slaughter the animals in the name of Vedas. So, we worship Buddha as God. He's one of the incarnations of Krishna. Any other questions? Yeah.
Vai nepieciešams studēt kādus papildus rakstus izņemot šīm Bhagavatam un Bhagavad Gītu, lai sasniegtu dzīves mērķi?
Are there necessity to study some other scriptures besides šīm Bhagavatam un Bhagavad Gītu in order to achieve one's
Does one need to study other?
Yeah, is there a need to study other scriptures?
No, just leave it. If you just study Prabhupada's books, that is sufficient. Actually, there's so much wealth of knowledge in Prabhupada's books, we don't even have enough time in this one lifetime to master Prabhupada's books even. So don't read any other books, just read Prabhupada's books. That's all you need. And they have the purport also. The other books don't have the purports of enlightened spiritual masters in them to help you understand correctly the meaning. Have you thoroughly studied all the Prabhupada's books yet? So don't waste time with other books. Even if devotees are selling them, just read Prabhupada's books. That's all you need is Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada told us all we needed to read is his books, we don't need other books. Anything else? Okay, we can stop here.
Yes, I should have to ask this.
And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna Consciousness movement. Please note that tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. And come tomorrow to worship the... Come tomorrow according to the posted schedule to worship the pure devotee. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Sankarsan Dasa Tikari Maharaj ki jai.